everyone. Good morning. You're listening to 101.9 FM, broadcasted from unceded Musqueam territories here at UBC. And I'm having just, gone are the dreary days of February, March, April, and May, because the beautiful sun is here to stay. It is glorious out. It's almost too hot. It's one of those days where, it's just, you almost wish for some breeze, but there's not a cloud up there. I describe it as a classic Van City robin egg blue. It's a crisp 25 degrees, and I'm sure you're already down at the beach bright and early here. You got your spot. And, I'm sorry. This is the Twilight Zone, because actually it's pouring rain and the police are shooting black people and the black people are shooting the police and the world's about to end. How's it going? Good morning. Sniper attacks. This is not good, folks. We got to figure things out. I have no solutions. Welcome to Vancouver, right? Your favorite morning comedy show in Vancouver. Yeah, it's not great. It's not good. It's not any positive thing. I'm not really sure what I watch the videos, I read the articles, and it just seems to keep getting worse. It's interesting because you'll watch like a Daily Show or like a Jon Stewart, and they seem to understand the situation so well. They're able to condense all the tension and controversy and themes down to like a 10-minute perfect little clip. It's funny, it's insightful, and it seems to offer some great solutions. And then you go, right, let's implement that, Jon Stewart or Trevor Noah or John Oliver. Let's do this. And then, you turn on the news and it's like multiple snipers are headshotting white cops. I guess we got to wait for more on that story. I'm going to let Jay-Z do the talking here. Maybe a minor parental advisory content warning here for my show and for the song. I read the lyrics. I don't think it's too problematic, but Jay-Z's first song in 3 years, a response to the police brutality. It's called Spiritual here on CITR.
Nature, they always come to the surface. And when they come to the surface, they come to the surface as bees.
All this work in payoff.
Just want all this work in payoff.
Just don't calculate
it. Don't calculate us.
Spiritual, yes it is spiritual. No, I'm not pushing. No, I'm not pushing. Just don't go get laid off. Spiritual, yes it is spiritual. No, I'm not pushing. No, I'm not pushing. Just don't.
Yeah. I am not poison, no, I am not poison, just a boy from the hood that got my hands in the air in despair, don't shoot, I just wanna do good, I am not poison, no, I am not poison, just a boy from the hood that got my hands in the air in despair, don't shoot, I just wanna do good, Pray your father's father wasn't touching his little daughter, creating transgenerational trauma that should've haunt you. Pray your little cousin ain't fall from the place that you fall asleep. Of course it's hard for you. Nigga ain't those, I ain't washing the week. I ain't changed clothes to the black album, y'all rap about him. I wrestled in the streets till I tapped out him. Them niggas is WWE. Y'all can have that, I'm smack dab in a hurricane of emotions. Can't even raise my little daughter, my little Carter. We call her Blue cause it's sad that. How could I be a dad that? I never had that. Shattered in a million pieces with a glass at. I need a drink, shrink or something. I need an angelic voice to sing something. Bless my soul, extend your arms, I'm cold. Hold me for a half hour till I'm whole. I am not poison, no, I am not poison. Just a boy from the hood that got my hands in the air in despair, don't shoot, I just wanna do good, I
spiritual, yes it is spiritual. No, I'm not pushing, no, I'm not pushing. Just don't go get laid off. Spiritual, yes it is spiritual. No, I'm not pushing, no, I'm not pushing. Just don't.
Yeah.
sick of hiding in holes and behind hyperbole. This is the real me unfold. Gangster is love, I'm thugging, I'm hugging. This is tougher than any gun that I raised, any crack that I blazed, that was nothing. Peeling back the layers, uncovering scars that never healed, I never kept it this real. I acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. Where's the little boy I knew? I must have forgot him. Stunting, of course we never grew. We're alone now and I'm singing this song for you. Stunting, of course we never grew. We're alone now and I'm singing this song for you. I am not poison, no, I am not poison. Just a boy from the hood that got my hands in the air in despair. Don't shoot, I just wanna do good. I am not poison, no, I am not poison.
Jay-Z spiritual in response to the police brutality in recent weeks. And I have seen the the white privilege for myself first. I was reflecting on that this morning, and I think the biggest example I ever saw of just getting away with stuff that you would... my girlfriend and I were driving so fast in the morning a couple years ago, and probably breaking like 8 laws. I mean, this car, it was really hazardous for the car to be going that fast period, and it was like twice the speed limit. It was... Okay, so twice the speed limit, that's like... That's probably not true. But it was really fast, and we get pulled over, and she's being so rude to the police officer. She's... I mean, I was shocked. I'm like, we're gonna get tased and all sorts of, and she's swearing at him, and he goes, all right. I'm like, calm down, just come on. And he looks at her driver's license, and he goes, all right, Carolyn, you're a New Year's baby, so I'm gonna let you off this time. It's like, you were born on the 1st of January, so you can drive as fast as you want. But if you sell CDs outside the Quick Mart, you're going down in a blaze of bullets. I'm going down in a blaze of chili right now. I'm feeling horrendous. My internal climate is reflecting the outdoor one. This is... I tried to save money by making a bunch of chili. And I tried to save additional money by not using cans of beans, but using dried beans that you have to soak in water to return them to their hydrated state. And what I didn't realize, first of all, is that it's a little more aggressive in terms of gas when they were dry before. I think it's harder for your body to digest them. But also, the beans really expand. I realize this is quite a jump here from All Lives Matter to my Texas chili discomfort, but let's just hang in there, folks. Yeah, I'm telling you, I probably made enough chili to... Let me put it this way: have you seen The Martian, where Matt Damon has to live on Mars for like 4 or 5 years, and he's rationing out his food? The amount of chili that I've eaten in the past 2 weeks probably could have lasted that entire time on another planet. It's been horrific. I mean, every day, chili, chili, chili. And the gas, thank God someone's calling in so I can get out of this. Okay. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, is this Alex?
Hola, senor.
Hey, it's Kevin Banner. How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm doing okay. How's the morning treating you?
It's great. What a day to be alive in Vancouver. We're live on the air right now.
We are live on the air. This is Kevin Banner, great comedians, open for Bill Burr and Norm Macdonald, and you're recording a album this weekend, yes?
That's correct. We're recording all 5 shows this weekend at the Comedy Mix. We did the first one last night. It was awesome. We had great crowds. So, hoping to have some awesome crowds throughout the weekend here. And with me is Charlie Demers and Sophie Buttle, and they're both fantastic. So, yeah, pretty stoked.
Nice, man. And is it gonna... what's your plan for that album? Are you gonna release it yourself or?
I am releasing it through 604 Records. So that's Nickelback's label. I'm the first Canadian they've signed, so pretty excited. It'll be out sometime, I believe, in the fall. I would say around October. And it'll be digital and CD and vinyl and all that fun stuff.
Awesome. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, man, I'm pumped.
Nickelback's album, hey?
Yeah, there was a couple of guys there that when I opened for Bill Burr that saw me and they called me in for a meeting, asked if I would be interested in doing a record with them. So I was, and here we are. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun getting ready.
Does this mean that you could be in the running for going to Chad Kroeger's epic parties at his like revolving car studio hockey rink mansion?
I sure hope so. I mean, geez, that's got to be one of the perks of signing with 604 is you get to see Chad at the Christmas party. So
yeah.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean,
all right.
I don't want to just assume that I'll be invited, but I really hope so.
Yeah. I got to tell you, bud, I think I might die of gas. I've eaten, I was just talking about this when you called in. I made Texas chili. I don't know.
Okay.
And I made it from dried beans, which you have to rehydrate with water. And I was not aware that the beans expand. And I've eaten more beans in the past 2 weeks than I've probably ever eaten in my life. I kid you not, on the bus here, every about 10 stops, I had to get off the bus, take a fart break, and then get on the next bus that came because it wasn't possible to do that on the bus. It wouldn't have.
Were you late for work? Because that's got to be a first, that you were late, that someone's late for work because they were farting too much.
No, because I didn't sleep last night. I slept 3 hours. There was no air in my room. So
oh, no.
I got up, I went and had breakfast. And that was brutal because I go, okay, I'm just going to go into this corner of this empty diner and fart and drink tea and get ready for wow, we've covered some ground this morning. Police brutality, albums. And anyways, so, and the server just keeps coming and checking on me. You know, sometimes servers never come.
Yeah.
You can't get a server to come. The one day where my anus is a symphony, it's every minute she's coming back. How's this? How's this? How's that? And I know she
How
can.
How are the first few bites? That's my least favorite new server thing. How are the first few bites? They're great. Thank you.
Yeah. It was, so that was awful. So I'm on 3 hours of sleep.
We'll get a Red Bull in you.
Yeah, that'll help the feelings inside.
So you'd be gassy and jittery.
Yeah. So what's your, I don't know, ritual in terms of having like a really good, I guess if you're doing five shows, are you recording all five shows?
So yeah,
you can
we're
really
recording all five. And last night was great. Like, I mean, with the exception of two jokes that I'd like to get that I'd like to just tell a little bit more clearly. It was great. Like, I think that last night could have been the album with the exception of the two jokes. So we've got no pressure the rest of the weekend. It should be just a lot of fun. So
yeah, that's
yeah.
great. And do you try to, I mean, I've obviously never done an album or been involved in one. I'm actually
neither. So this is my first, experience with it as well.
What did is someone kind of overseeing it and giving you some, advice, like a director or producer?
Not really.
Like
I mean,
that?
they gave me creative freedom to do whatever I want. There is a guy, Kevy from the band Fake Shark, and he's producing my album. He's also produced local comics, Dino, Archie, and Ivan Decker, Chris James's album. So, yeah, I'm in good hands, and it's just a matter of having some fun, and hopefully that comes across. I just don't want people to buy my album and think it sucks. So,
yeah,
based on last night, I don't think they will, but you never know.
I've been seeing your jokes over the past few years,
sure.
And I'm sure I'll hear some of those great jokes this weekend when I come check it out. So after you record this, does that mean all this material is burned?
Pretty much. I mean, there'll be a couple jokes that I might hang on to for a little bit longer, but for the most part, the majority of it, it'll be done. So that's why there'll be a 3 month gap between the recording and the release, so that I can build up some more time here. But yeah, I've already started working on like the next chunk of my act. So.
Right. Now tell me a little bit. This is all great so far. I'm curious about some of the big names you've worked with, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
I was right about Norm MacDonald, right? You opened for
Norm and Burr and Doug Stanhope years ago, and a couple of pro wrestlers I've got to work with, Mick Foley and Jake the Snake. So
you're a huge wrestling fan.
Big time, yeah. So that was a lot of fun. Two very different shows. Like, Mick Foley is such a light, happy guy, and Jake has a lot of darkness to him. But yeah, it was so much fun to get to do shows with those two guys.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
Oh, that's tough. It might be Mick Foley. He's right up there. I was a big Bret the Hitman Hart guy. Dusty Rhodes, I love so much. So yeah, it's tough. It's like asking who's my favorite comedian. There's just so many. I try and make like a, because I can never pick my favorite in any category, I always try and make a Mount Rushmore, like my top four of anything. So
was there anything that you wanted to ask Mick Foley? Because he's had such a crazy life. I mean, even if you just read his books. Did you have a chance to talk to him and be like, oh
yeah.
Is my...
Yeah, no, he was super, super friendly and hung out before the shows. And then after the shows, he would stay at the venue and sign autographs and take pictures with literally everybody who wanted an autograph or a picture. So I know, like, after one of the shows, he was there until 2 a.m. because he wouldn't just take a picture and then shuffle on to the next person. It was like he would have a little conversation and connect with people. And he's very smart. Like, he's got his fan base and he keeps them happy. And yeah, he's just a great dude.
It seems like the world's probably going to open up to you quite a bit in the next decade. I mean, would going into, I don't know, writing or some sort of acting position within WWE be something that you would be really into?
In theory, yes, I'd love to write for WWE, but I've just heard way too many horror stories from people. There have been a number of comedians over the years who have written there, and their writer turnover is so insane. Like, I think I heard someone say on a podcast recently, the average writer stays there maybe 3-4 months.
Wow.
And then they've got like their core writers, but then like new guys will come in and they just can't hack it. Cause you really have to be dedicated to that kind of thing, like around the clock, and also move to New York or Connecticut area. So
right.
As a Canadian, that's not a simple task either.
Yeah, I think though I heard Patrice O'Neill talking about that back in the day about how he wrote.
Yeah, Patrice O'Neill wrote for, I think, I've heard stories, but I heard it was less than a month that he was there, and he told Stephanie McMahon that he had to go, he couldn't make a meeting because he had gigs.
Yeah.
He's like, this is your job, and he's like, well, I gotta go. She fired him, so.
Yeah, I think he also did that with like Spike Lee, and it almost just adds to his legend.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Never crossed a bridge he couldn't burn.
Well, let me ask him one more question here. Does your love for wrestling cross over a little bit into UFC as well, or is that something you're just not?
I've been a UFC fan for years, but I haven't really been. I think I've seen only two pay-per-views in the last year. I've kind of so busy with between stand-up and my wrestling fandom that. I only have time for comedy and wrestling now, so it's I was really looking forward to see Brock Lesnar's return, and then I realized that it's on the same night as my album taping, so
right.
I won't get to see that, but hopefully it keeps some idiots from coming down to the club and yelling out during my recording.
There you go. Okay, well, make sure you catch Kevin Banner's album recording this weekend at the Comedy Mix. And anything else you want to plug or get
no,
into?
No, that's it, man. At Banner Comedy on Twitter. If you heard me on Alex's show, then shoot me a tweet. Say hello.
Okay, man. Thanks. Have a great
day. Thanks, buddy. You too.
See you, dude. All right, let's say hi to our studio guest today. Make some noise for
Justin O'Hearn.
Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
And by
thanks
us,
for having me.
I mean me. How's your morning going?
Not bad. I just ditched class to come here. Or class I'm teaching.
Right. What are you teaching?
I'm teaching English at a two-year college down on Terminal Avenue, Columbia College.
And you are a Vancouver comedian who does... We're making a quick transition here. Thank
yep.
you for adjusting, listener. Your Big Rock comedy?
Yep. Big Rock comedy every month. Next show is July the 17th. We have our headliner, Mr. Damon Schritter, is going to be joining us, who is monster of a comedian, won the Seattle Comedy Competition in, I forget which year, but has had a Comedy Now special. He tours all over. We've also got Ryan LaChance, Ed Konya, Roman Mancini, Amber Harper Young, and one more I'm probably forgetting. But it's going to be a great show. It's Sunday night, July the 17th at 8.
Okay. Killer. And you mentioned something about, well, if I'm misremembering this, it's going to sound very strange, but something about porn or studying.
Yeah,
porn?
Yeah.
What is that?
I'm actually a UBC student. I'm finishing my PhD right now. And my topic is pornography, Victorian pornography. So pornography that was produced basically in the latter half of the 19th century. That's kind of my day job. And I teach to make a living.
You teach porn?
No, I teach regular English.
So you teach English and you study porn?
Yeah. That's not weird, right?
No.
That's like, I mean, pretty normal, I think.
I mean, I think you're asking the wrong guy because I don't think I really know what weird is because I'm weird. Like coming on the bus here, I said that sentence probably came out a little strange. On the way here on the bus, I saw somebody I knew and they were reading a book and I was like, I made a conversation with them and then I immediately oh, let's talk on the bus. And
right.
Do you ever do this and you realize like what you've just done is incredibly annoying?
I don't talk to people.
And now you're in a conversation. And then the conversation lasted like four sentences. And I was like, and then I said, you can probably just go back to reading your book. And then she said, thanks.
Yeah, that's.
That's the best thing I did was let her be like, you don't have to do this anymore. I know that you're not enjoying this.
She was being extremely polite in that situation.
Yeah. I should do that in the bedroom. I should do that. Probably on the radio, I should be like, you guys don't have to listen to this. I could probably really come on stage. Hey, guys, I'm going to leave you with this. I mean, Alex.
Yeah.
And then just let the next comic come on.
Yeah.
It'll be a lot of fun.
But yeah, no, I don't talk to people on the bus. I especially don't talk to people who are reading books because that's a social cue to say, leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I also realized that when people do this to me, I hate it.
Sure.
Like, I was on the bus yesterday, and this guy came up to me and was like, oh, man, I'm so stressed out. I'm just trying to calm down. Whew. When I close my eyes and I just exhale, really lowers my blood pressure. Sure. And I was like, you know what really raises my blood pressure? When random people talk to me on the bus.
Yep.
And then, really, karmically, it shows how dumb I am because I did it today.
Yeah. And, I mean, specifically, I don't talk to people who read books because I don't care about what they're reading or their lives or anything.
Right. That's a little... Yeah, it's honest, I guess. It was probably like this thrilling. She's reading a Chuck Palahniuk.
How do you say it? Palahniuk. The Fight Club guy.
The Fight Club guy.
Yeah, yeah.
He loves being called that.
Sure.
And it was probably like a really exciting moment in the book. And what do? I insist, you know. And she's on her way to work too, so it's like this is her downtime. She's a server. She's got to talk to people all day. Oh man, I hate myself.
Oh yeah, what did you
this
do?
This is
to
getting
that,
worse
that
and worse.
Poor woman.
It would, oh.
You know what, Alex?
What?
You can forgive yourself for this one.
Yeah. Thich Nhat Hanh. You get in there and you say, I forgive you.
Yeah.
That's the thing about that. Okay, well, we are going to take a quick break here. Play some Sinead O'Connor, Black Boys on Mopeds. Thought it was suitable today. No reason. No reason at all. And when we get back, we'll hang out with Justin a little bit more. We will discuss the new planet they found with three suns, Pokemon Go, and just have an amazing time together on 101.9.
Margaret Thatcher on TV, shocked by the deaths that took place in Beijing. It seems strange that she should be offended. The same orders are given by her. I've said this before now. You said I was childish and you'll say it now. Remember what I told you.
not the mythical land of Madame George and Rosie. It's the home of police who kill black boys on mopeds. And I love my boy, and that's why I'm leaving. I don't want him to be aware that there's any such thing as grieving. Young mother down at Smithfield, 5 a.m. looking for food for her kids. In her arms she holds three cold babies, and the first word that they learned was please. These are dangerous days. To say what you feel is to name your own grave. England's not the mythical land of Madame George and Roses. It's the home of police who kill black boys on mopeds. And I love my boy, and that's why I'm leaving. I don't want him to be aware that there's any such thing as grief.
Catalano Street Party, Vancouver's biggest music and arts festival, is back July 9th from 11 a.m. through 9 p.m. Come on down to West 4th for over 50 great bands, including Hannah Georges, White Poppy, Hot Panda, Moo, Woolworm, Mesa Luna, and many more. I can't play this game. The best of Vancouver's food carts and vendors, activities for kids, beer gardens. All this and more will highlight your day. This Saturday, July 9th, brought to you with love from the merchants of West 4th Avenue.
Attention, there will be a cake fight at the Woods Studio, 7 West 2nd Avenue, Friday, July 8th. There will be a cake fight at the Woods Studio, Friday, July 8th. Bands will play Phone a Penny, The Rush for Life, Wish Kicker, and Pink Licorice.
Would you like to get updates on your smartphone in an emergency, even if a cell tower is down? It is possible if the FM chip is activated in your phone. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
You're still tuned in to Vancouverite on 101.9 FM. Thank you for staying with us. I hope your morning is good, despite being cold, miserable, and filled with police brutality. Yeah. We're here with Justin O'Hearn. Is that the correct way?
O'Hearn. Yeah.
Justin O'Hearn.
Pretty close, though.
I mean, yeah. Fatal error in terms of...
You know what? I grew up with this name. I've never liked it. Only recently have
you should
I
change it.
I did change it.
Oh.
My It's a long story, but essentially, it was spelled wrong on my birth certificate.
Was it?
And they wouldn't let me change it for free, so I had to legally change my name to get a spelling error corrected.
It's correct now. How was it spelled before?
Before, so now it's spelled O apostrophe H E A R N.
Right.
Before it was spelled O apostrophe H E A R O N. So there was an extra O before.
Wow.
And they wouldn't. It's a long, stupid story about why they wouldn't let me change it. They said your only option is you must change it legally. And I'm from Nova Scotia, and to do that, you have to pay a bunch of money, and you have to take out an ad in the official paper of record, which is called the Royal Nova Scotia Gazette. So it's one of the things you'll get when you Google me, actually.
Wait, you have to take out an ad saying I have changed my name?
Yep. Yep. It's I think it's the oldest newspaper in Canada.
That's one of the weirdest things I've heard in a bit.
Yeah. Well, welcome to having a stupid last name, I guess. And anyway, no one can say or spell it anyway. And I've only really come into my own with my first name because we've had so many famous Justins over the last decade.
Right.
Growing up, I didn't know anyone else named Justin. I knew this one kid from a different school that I took swimming lessons with, and I didn't like him. So I had a lot of shame about my name. And then we had Justin Bieber, of course, which didn't help. But now we have Justin Trudeau, so I feel it's better.
Right. Although it does, it's kind of like all the Justins are either hated or they're so amazing you'll never possibly be able to live up to them.
Yeah, I'm in the second category.
Right.
I'm so amazing, I can't possibly live up. That doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
No. I still don't like my name. That's long story short.
Gotcha.
It's hard to say. It doesn't flow. It's not mellifluous.
What a beautiful word. Wow, you sure redeemed yourself there.
Yep. Yep. Just stick in a big word and everything will be fine.
So you got any porn facts for us? Being a studier of... I mean, I do a little studying of porn myself.
Of
but
course
it's a little
you do.
More like layman
yeah.
style.
I mean, I wanted to go legit. So I was like, well, how do you do that? Just stay in school till you're in your mid-30s.
Right.
They'll let you do whatever you want.
How many people are in that class?
There's no class.
There's no class?
No, I'm the only one. So yeah, PhD is a little bit different than undergrad. Whereas you do take classes, but it's in other things. And then you take classes for a year, and then they'll let you go off and do whatever you want.
And you chose to study the origins of pornography.
Yeah, yeah. Hardcore pornography. What we
enlighten
now,
us.
What we now know as
being
hardcore
too explicit,
pornography.
I guess.
Sure, no problem.
If possible.
No problem. So basically, what we would recognize now as hardcore pornography hasn't always been in existence. It only really came about in the 1820s and 30s in England.
England?
England, yeah.
Interesting.
Imagine that, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't have guessed that. It would have been maybe like Serbia or...
No, not yeah. But when I say as we know it, I mean as white Western people.
Right, the royal we.
The royal
white people.
Exactly, white people.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but so they sort of created it because it came out of this other tradition that was using sex and sexuality to humiliate public figures. So it was much more politicized. So think of the French Revolution. They had pornography, but it was to show sort of political leaders and the monarchy in a humiliating light. So it would be to use royalty as political satire, and they would show them in these compromising positions. So
I see.
But it wasn't until about the 1830s.
That's like the original sex tape.
Pretty much. Yeah, exactly. That's a great analogy, actually. And in the 1830s, some enterprising publishers in London and around the UK, they started doing what we would call pornography as entertainment. So before that, it wasn't entertainment. It was for political purposes.
Right.
But it was divorced from the political purpose.
They're like, hey, we could have a lot of fun with this.
Yeah, it's like, hey, this is what...
We could do this every day.
Right. A lot of one-handed book reading.
Yes.
That sort of stuff.
Yeah, and sticky pages.
Yep.
And other
yep.
hack jokes revolving around.
Precisely.
That's good times. What's the... Okay, other than that, what else is going on in your life? Because we started, I think we hit... pretty hard here at the beginning.
We did, yeah. I walked in and you gave me a microphone and we just did this, which I appreciate. So what else is going on? Stand-up comedy wise, out there every week. Got a show coming up at the Big Rock Urban Brewery down in False Creek on 310 West 4th Avenue. That's on 17th of July. That's a monthly show that I co-produce with two other great comedians, Katie Nordgren and Kyle Carpenter are my partners. And yeah, we bring in kind of the best comics around once a month.
And it's at a brewery.
It's at a brewery. So there's beer.
So there's beer.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Deep fried olives.
Deep fried olives.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That sounds like it could actually be really good. Yeah.
It's salty. It's fatty. It's amazing.
Deep fried olives.
Goes really well with
pits or no pits?
No. They've pitted the olives for us.
Oh.
Yeah. No, they're very friendly in the kitchen at Big Rock Brewery.
All right. I like that.
Yeah.
I like the almost more than the comedy show at this point. That seems like a guaranteed good time. Come for the olives.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. Come for the olives.
Possibly stay for the comedy.
Pay the cover for the comedy.
Yes.
And actually, you know, I don't care if people come as long as they just pay the cover.
Right. So almost come and get the olives and just pay, like, come in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Then pay just because you heard about the olives on this show.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, there's a lot of comedy shows around town.
There are.
But this one has Damon.
Damon Schritter is on this one. And
he's talented.
Beyond comprehension. He's almost like that other Justin.
Yes. You
know, the one who you can't really, you know, you want to be like.
I feel like Justin Trudeau has a pretty decent sense of humor. Bit smug.
Sure.
But I like that in a comic.
Yeah.
He could have been a comic.
Trudeau. Probably. Yeah. I think, you know what? If it were timed better, I think him and Obama could be like some sort of a comedy duo. So Obama's kind of a funny guy. I mean, you've seen him at the White House press corps speeches and things like that. And he, you know, he roasts people and he's little digs at Donald Trump. It's great.
Yeah, he's decent.
I mean, he's pretty good. He's got writers, obviously.
I mean, yeah, but Trump's pretty decent too. And I feel like Trump's good off the cuff.
Do you think he's meaning to be funny?
I don't really care if he's meaning or not being funny. Like, his insults are pretty funny. Like, they're a bit crude and insensitive.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, yeah, I think he's funny. I think Trump is funny.
What's an earnestly funny thing he said that you can think of?
When he was quick on his feet, you said this about women, you said this about women. Just Rosie O'Donnell. That was good.
Right.
When he was that physical comedy, when he had the water bottle, and he was going, who's like,
Marco Rubio?
Marco Rubio, yeah, the water. Yeah. Is it over here? Is it over here? You don't know where it is. I thought that was great.
Okay. So, like, basically when he's being a jerk, which is 100% of the time.
Yeah, which is a style of comedy.
I suppose.
I feel like Obama, his best comedy, though, has also been insult comedy based.
Yeah.
Usually towards Trump and other conservative politicians.
Yeah.
So he just has a way of doing it that seems more gentlemanly.
Gentlemanly, I like Obama. He's nuanced because he's very well educated.
Yes.
You know, and he can use his words in the way that Donald Trump can't. Donald Trump will tell us he can use his words.
Yeah.
Obama will just do it, and you'll be being insulted by him, and you won't really realize it until it's too late. That's the kind of comedy that I like. It's that slow burn, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I realize for every good riff with Trump, there's like 5 minutes of, I'm a genius.
Yeah.
I'm incredible. Actually, Trump should team up with Kanye West like the delusional.
The delusional comedy
like
tour.
Better than Walt Disney Dream Team, you know? That would be cool.
I know people who would watch that.
Have you ever lined up, I'm thinking of this because of the Kanye shoes, the Yeezys, and then something I saw last night in front of the Adidas store. Have you ever lined up for a shoe?
I've never lined up for anything.
No.
Except for tacos at La Taqueria.
I've done that too.
Yeah, that's the only thing. I don't line up. I'm not a lineup guy.
La Taqueria's tacos are good.
Yeah.
And on Wednesdays, that deal used to be a lot better. Did you ever go back in the day where almost giving them away?
They give you a fifth one for free now. Isn't that
the deal? Yeah, it used to be you could get six for the price of four.
Oh, that is a better deal.
I've told this story before, but I think it deserves one more telling.
Yeah, I've never heard it, so
I'll do a brief before we get back into my shoe tale.
The Reader's Digest
version. But I don't know if you were ever on the belly program at La Taqueria where you scan the card for reward points.
Yep.
But I was, because the more points you accumulated, the more rewards you could get. and they accumulated. So, you know, if you got 100 points, you got 2 free tacos. Mm-hmm. But if you didn't use those points and you held out until you got 500 points, you got a drink and 4 tacos and so on and so forth. But if you got like 5,000 points or whatever, this crazy number that took years of not spending your points, you got a free cooking class for 2 with the chef.
Wow.
I was like, this is going to be a great date, or just me and a friend, or just me. This just sounds great. This is worth more. This has more sentimental value than free tacos.
Yeah.
Although I do need free tacos, but I'm going to save up for this. And I did for years. Until one day when I went in and they were like, oh, we got rid of the system.
And that's it. Your points just vanished.
Yes.
No more cooking class.
So I never really. That was the day my love affair with Taqueria kind of ended.
Oh.
It soured me too much, and I learned how to make pinche tacos myself at home.
Perfect. Without their help.
That's right. So
you don't need them.
It has kind of a poetic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You came out on top there. Did you ever see the guy that works there who looks like Mexican Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
Definitely. I like that guy.
Nice stuff.
He's a nice guy.
For sure.
But he also looks like Jake Gyllenhaal if he were Mexican. And
Christian, is that his name?
I have no idea what any of their names are. But I just
right.
I just go there and I'm like, yeah, he's still here. We can continue.
I saw some people lining up for shoes last night.
Oh, right.
This is an all-nighter. I mean, they're just sitting in front of a store all night.
Shoes.
Waiting for Adidas shoes.
Adidas shoes?
Yes.
Like at the store down in Granville Street? The Adidas
That's
store?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
A little strange. The lining up for shoes. Concept.
How much are the shoes?
200, 300.
And they lined up for the privilege.
To be the first to have them. I got to say a lot of sneakers don't look very good. Every time I see this, like this is the new Jordan or whatever. And they're like, they're these weird clunky space boots.
Yeah.
I don't think these sneakers a lot of the time look very good. And then the price and the lining up, it's a little weird.
Do you ever see this kid they call the Sneaker Don?
No.
He's a 16-year-old kid from somewhere in Florida.
Okay.
And his bar mitzvah money he used to buy some sneakers.
All right. I see.
And he started to sell sneakers on the gray market, I guess it's called, because it's not the black market.
Gotcha.
And now this is the kid who supplies all the rappers with their sneakers. And he wears a bucket hat and he like a big gold chain like Run DMC. And he's 16. And he's kind of a cool kid.
Ethnicity?
Like, he's like a Jewish kid from somewhere in...
Oh, why did I just ask that? Bar mitzvah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just like a regular, just, I don't know, kid. Like he goes to school and he sells sneakers to Jay-Z and all the other rappers.
Right.
And so now he's in this world and he started it with his bar mitzvah money, which is, from what I understand, that's what you're meant to do. Like you get all this money for a bar mitzvah and you
become a businessman.
You're meant to, it's meant to be an investment, right? So they invest in your manhood and then you invest that into something and make something of yourself. So this kid invested in sneakers and
cool.
It's a really cool story.
Cool story. All right. I love stories like that.
Yeah.
I also hate them because I'm like severely in debt.
Right.
And the most money I ever made from comedy was from a corporate gig at a corporate. What am I? I'm just saying that to make it sound better. It was an old folks home.
Okay.
And it was horrific. And I bombed for an hour straight. I think that's the most money I ever made.
How much?
I'm not going to disclose that.
How many figures?
it was not enough for it to. But yeah, I mean, that's great. I'd love to be a businessman, but I'm just not. You know, I mean, you see people that try to be businessmen that fail. Like for every Sneaker Don, there's like 800 complete failures that are like, I'm going to do this business thing, right?
Sure.
And I feel like the people that succeed are just destined to be like that.
Yeah, maybe.
Like that kid was born.
He was born to be
the Sneaker Don.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're probably right about that. Whereas someone like Donald Trump, he came by it because it was in his family. He inherited a lot of the real estate.
Not a fan of Trump, eh?
Who is?
A lot of people. A lot of Americans.
Like who? I can't find one.
Well, I was talking to my buddy last night. I was working the Vogue, and.
The dance? Like you were just voguing in the street?
No, the Vogue Theater.
Oh, the Vogue Theater. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Sorry. I thought I pictured you working the Vogue like on Granville Street and just like doing the thing with your hands.
Happens all the time.
Okay.
Don't
sorry.
Worry.
I interrupted you, but continue.
And he's from the States, and he went to a Trump protest.
Okay.
And he said that there was like maybe, I don't know, 500,000 people protesting. And there was like 20,000 people inside that were pro-Trump. And they were like scared for their lives when they came out. They're like, we are vastly outnumbered here.
Sure.
So a lot of people, a lot of religious people, which is interesting because I was thinking about this last night. A lot of religious people support Trump. And yet Trump really, I mean, I guess some of, if you're like a right-wing fundamentalist, sure, like the anti-gay stuff and the anti-abortion, which he's kind of posturing behind,
yeah,
it, I guess, fits your agenda. But a lot of Trump stuff, like, he's over-sexualizes women. I mean, that's kind of his go-to for a lot of his companies, right?
Is
using women to sex sells, and materialism. And those two things, over-sexualizing women and materialism, are not built into the religion, right? Isn't that like,
well, I
not
think
really
being misogynistic is kind of
true. That's true.
That's
yeah.
kind of built in to the right wing agenda and the conservative Christian. But remember, like the conservative Christians didn't like him always. They were they supported Ted Cruz before he dropped out.
Yeah.
So now he's got to pick up those votes from those. Like, listen to me. I'm talking as if I know what I'm saying. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Did you ever play that game in school where you put, like, a bunch of mats on the gym floor and then, like, okay, the gym floor is lava.
Yeah.
And now we're going to all run around and they're going to pull away mats one by one.
Yes.
And you have, like, that's what the political race
It seems that way, like, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, lesser of two evils or they'll just get in line.
And there's also always, like, whoever. The kid drooling in the corner, like, eating the mats, and then there's the kids that like don't want to play. They're like, I'm not voting. I don't care about this game. And
yeah, man,
you're really trying to sell this analogy.
You're killing it with the analogies today. You really are.
Not a lot of other, my stories, my topical stuff, segues, but the analogies.
I'd give you A-.
Thank you.
The analogies.
Oh, and you are an English teacher.
Yep, and that's what I do.
An analogy is part of English.
It's part of English. It's part of my job.
Yeah.
So I like to think that I have some level of expertise here.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll give you your final grade at the end of the interview.
All right. Let's see if I can maybe get one more.
We'll see if you can make it to just a solid A.
But you don't want to force an analogy.
No.
And I feel like there's a lot of pressure on me now.
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna let it happen. We're gonna take a quick break here. We're gonna listen to maybe a couple promos, some great music, and then you'll be back to hear some more amazing analogies and God knows what else on 101.9 FM, your favorite morning show, Vancouver Right, with me, Alex Biron. Yeah.
An enabled FM chip in your smartphone can make the difference in an emergency situation by allowing you to still hear critical updates. It will also let you listen to the local FM station using 3 times less battery and 20 times less data than streaming. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
We're live and we're getting a phone call right away here, so excuse me while I turn that on. Hello, how are you? Hello, you're live on the air. All right, and they've hung up.
Tune in every Friday at 10 a.m. for Vancouver, right? With your hosts, Alex Biron and Simon Armstrong. News, music, personal stories, and everything you need to know about the local comedy scene. What else would you be doing at 10 a.m. on a Friday? Well, you're probably at work, and if you have the day off, you've already made plans. It doesn't matter. Just be there and call in anytime.
Conservation is the first and best resource option for BC. Do your part. Turn off the lights when you leave a room and unplug your cell phone charger when charging is complete. Visit bchydro.com to find out more ways you can make a difference. This message brought to you by BC Hydro Power Smart and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Carnival del Sol, an outdoor Latin fiesta at Concord Pacific Place, is returning on July 9th and 10th. Pack your summer colorful clothes and come eat, play, and live Latin America. Carnival del Sol is a two-day festival featuring 250 musicians and traditional folk dancers, a culinary show, a World Mini Cup Series soccer tournament, a fashion show, mini chef for kids, Latin American food vendors, and a beer garden. Bring the family and friends. Entrance is free. Enjoy life with Carnival del Sol on July 9th and 10th at Concord Pacific Place.
We're back.
We're totally back.
I just always wanted to say that.
Yeah. Thank you so much for staying with us here on Vancouverite. And coming up at 12 will be Dave Radio with Radio Dave. So stay tuned for us. We love that guy. He's smiling at me. We usually end at 11 officially, but more often than not, do a little bonus time, as we will today. Soul Clap, Conscious. Great, great tune. Give this a listen on YouTube or something. It's amazing what you can do with an illegal bootleg. Womack and Womack. Great band. You seem like a pretty nice guy.
I like
for the most
so.
Part.
For the most part.
Pretty mild-mannered, as some would say.
Yeah.
I think you need some hornier glasses, horn-rimmed.
Yeah, I need like writerly glasses, I
correct.
Think.
And a pipe.
I smoke a pipe, actually.
I just smacked my mic with You smoke a pipe?
I have two pipes. I don't smoke them at the same time. But
I think you should.
It's hard. I've tried.
Yeah, okay. Okay, as long as...
For that extra...
Yep.
Extra like smug look, like two pipes. Like that's no one does that, right?
You're like Tupac.
But except two pipes. Yeah, no, I couldn't do it. I thought I was gonna try something new and start a trend, but didn't
right.
work. I'm not a trendsetter. I'm not a taste maker.
I don't like that phrase Colwick. What's the taste maker?
Taste maker.
You're an English teacher. What would that be called? A conjunction?
An idiom, maybe?
An idiom?
An idiom, yeah. Conjunction are words that join two sentences. And or, but, for, either or, neither nor.
Hey, prof, let me riddle me this.
Yeah.
When do you use a semicolon?
You can use a semicolon in a couple of different
ways. Give me an example and show me where the semicolon...
All right. So the first way you use a semicolon is if you have two independent clauses. That's two complete thoughts that
right.
are sentences, okay?
But they can go together.
Two complete sentences that are related to each other.
Right.
Okay.
So they flow. You want them to flow together. Well, you can't use a comma, though, because each one...
Because if you use a comma between two independent clauses, that's called a comma splice error. Because
right.
Independent clauses can only be separated by periods or semicolons.
Right.
And sometimes
ladies,
colons.
Control yourself. I know you're getting hot and heavy.
I know. This is heavy stuff.
Maybe turn down the radio for a bit if you're sensitive.
So yeah, two related thoughts that are full sentences you can
right.
join with a semicolon. And the other way you can use a semicolon is when you have a list of things that already has commas in it.
I think I just became a virgin again talking about this.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Welcome to my life, man.
But see, I feel like I know that, but I still don't know how to use them properly. Amazing.
Well,
speaking of amazing.
We'll give you a private lesson after the show. We'll do some examples.
Okay. How are you with astrology? Wait, what's the difference between astrology and astronomy?
Astrology is bunk, and that's like your horoscope. And
right,
astronomy,
very different, actually.
Yeah, astronomy is looking at the stars and being like, that's a billion miles away.
Right. Wow, that's really, it'd be like, you want to go on a date with my friend? He's an astrologer. Wait, is that a word?
Yeah, astrologer. Those are the people who read.
Right.
You'd
be like, oh, those people are really smart and... Absolutely, and then you get there and they have like a wizard hat and it's like, oh no, astrologer.
Those words used to be more closely related than they are now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, with the advent of science and stuff.
I guess you did have to kind of study the sun and stars and to be an astrologer. So you probably were back in the day a little more savvy.
Yeah, you still have to study those things, but you don't have to know really facts about them, except you have to know like where they are in the sky and stuff.
Right.
But then you impose meaning on that.
Yeah. See, the problem with astrology is that they're just too general. That's why it's so quacky, is that it's like, contact a loved one today.
Yeah.
I mean, I know everyone's said this, but really, I mean, this is like gun violence in the States. More gun control, less astrology. Astrology is stupid, right? More or less? I mean, it doesn't...
I think more or less. I think it serves a function for some people. Some people, it's merely a form of entertainment.
I'm saying this... coming from someone that consults the I Ching daily. So I guess that's more or less the same thing.
Yeah.
Although I like it. So planet with three suns has been found.
Okay.
A massive object with three suns. I didn't know you had two brothers, Justin. It's a fat mother joke. No, but hey, they found a huge planet.
Isn't Luke Skywalker's planet, doesn't that have three suns?
Well, it's funny you should mention that because that's what people are saying. Wow, they've found the planet from Tatooine.
Oh, Tatooine, that's it.
Yeah, they've basically found Tatooine.
Yeah.
A year on this planet lasts a century.
So what does it have to do with like a figure eight around the two suns?
A triple sow cow.
Oh, it's three suns.
It's three suns, baby.
Wow, so that's, yeah, oh, no, yeah. that's...
three sunsets. So
that's
it's
intense.
Really bright and then it's sort of bright and then... Yeah, making a calendar would be It'd be very, very tricky. Although you'd have three birthdays. No, you wouldn't.
You'd you'd only have get one every once. Century. You'd have...
Right. It's really the worst possible.
That's the worst possible, because your first birthday, you'd be dead.
You'd never have a birthday.
You'd never have one.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm sure glad we don't live on that planet, Alex.
Yeah. You were telling me an interesting story when we went to... I've been waiting for you to seamlessly transition to it into it like a professional, but you're not doing it, so I'm just going
to
come out and say, can you tell me the story where...
yeah, when I was a kid, I brought a gun to school.
Right.
And I didn't get in trouble for it.
Really?
Yeah.
A gun, like a hunting gun?
No, it was a BB gun, but it looked
that's
like
a gun.
It looked like a real gun.
Oh, no, that's not a gun. A BB gun.
It was a handgun, though.
No, a gun has to shoot a bullet. Well, a BB gun is a BB gun. It's a baby gun.
Well, this shot BBs, it shot pellets, and it shot darts. So you could really injure somebody with that, and you could really mess up a bird.
Sweet Justin, this is...
This is as bad as I get, Alex. I'm the bad boy of Vancouver comedy.
No, that's Mark Hughes. Apparently.
Oh, is that Mark Hughes?
Yeah,
oh.
I think he's got that.
He's got that trademarked.
I don't know if people want that anymore. The whole bad the he's the bad boy of sailing. The bad there's a bad boy of everything. And but
I think that line
for better
is,
or worse,
that line is funnier when people can see me, because
yes,
I basically look like a dollop of cream cheese.
You look like a arts and craft project with a big silly head on top.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair. Yeah.
The colors of your shirt, this plaid shirt, has a very kind of quaint, this like a tea cozy almost.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a nice combination of colors.
Yeah. That's J. Crew, man. That doesn't just happen by accident, you know?
Yeah. Actually quite like that.
Yeah, thanks, man. You can.
It's a blue, orange, and cream arrangement for those of you at home.
It's the it's got the same color scheme as the Band-Aid box.
Okay, I feel like that's maybe not how I would describe it if I was trying to sell it. but I do love the Band-Aid box.
This shirt sells itself, brother.
Sure.
Just
do you play Pokemon? Were you a fan of Pokemon? You seem like somebody that would have played Pokemon.
Maybe I seem like that, but I don't know what a Pokemon is. Like, I know what Pokemon is, and I know that there's a Pikachu.
Okay, give me... This is fun, then.
I brought a gun to school.
What is Pokemon... Coming from someone that didn't play Pokemon.
Yeah.
I mean, you're aware of this thing called Pokemon.
I know, yeah, I'm aware of it, and I know that it was a cartoon, and I know that there are cards, and you have to have all of them or something.
So, give me...
And there's red and blue ones?
Let's say I held a gun... A BB gun. No, a real gun.
Yeah.
Up to your head. And I said, I'm going to kill you and your entire family unless you tell me what Pokemon is. I want you to, and you had to describe Pokemon.
I have to describe
Pokemon? Like, tell me the story of Pokemon, like what happens to the characters with your limited.
So what happens in Pokemon, as I'm watching this video right now, there's a kid who's opening
his eyes.
Okay,
no, you can't watch the video.
Okay, I can't watch the video. So in Pokemon, there are these creatures. Some of them are named Pikachu, because there's more than one Pikachu.
Okay.
And you have to catch them because, like, they're mischievous?
All right. See, now the gun's getting closer to your temple.
Oh, geez.
You're going the right direction.
But you got to catch them all. I know that. That's what I know about Pokemon.
That's a little hack, but correct, I guess.
That's not hack. It's just that's their phrase, isn't it? That's their catchphrase.
Yeah. I mean, I think the definition of hack is very... catchphrase is almost a synonym for hack, because
right,
it's...
I'm just saying what the corporate...
Catchphrase, though, an interesting word, since you have to catch them all. Anyway.
There you go. Yeah, so it doubles back on itself. So after you've caught them, I don't know what you do with them. I don't know if there's like a Ghostbuster situation where you put them in the little vessel that steams. You remember when they caught the Slimer in Ghostbusters?
Yeah. I feel like maybe using plot devices from Ghostbusters is a poor way of trying to... describe what Pokemon is.
I'm feeling very ambushed right now by you.
See, I feel like I have all the analogy skills, and I've almost absorbed your analogy skills.
Like you've taken
because that
like,
was a terrible analogy.
I'm just trying to think about because there's that ball thing in Pokemon.
The Pokeball.
And the little boy throws the ball at Pikachu.
Yeah.
And Pikachu gets trapped inside of it, I guess. And then he takes it back to the containment unit, and then Walter Peck from the EPA comes and tries to shut it all down, and then what happens is they all get released into, I'm guessing, Tokyo.
You know, you're actually surprisingly close.
Is that right?
Well, basically, you explore the world catching Pokemon, and you use them to fight Pokemon. You become a Pokemon trainer.
Okay.
It's really all there in the theme song,
it's
actually.
In the opening credits?
Yeah. Actually, it really is. I turned it down on purpose, because if you listen here, that's what makes it such a great theme, aside or in addition to being a very catchy song. But listen to these lyrics. I mean, that's pretty clear.
Who doesn't want to be the very best?
That's setting it up. And an interesting note here for fans of Pokemon, most of you listening probably are, it starts with a shot of Mew and Mewtwo, very rare, almost godlike Pokemon. I think that's a very interesting way of starting it. I never really noticed that before, but that's very cool.
Okay, so they do go into the little ball.
So that's almost a thesis statement right there. To catch them is my real test. To train them is my cause.
Right. So you have to catch these wild things and then bend them to your will so that they'll fight for you?
That's a dark but correct way of looking at Pokemon.
Okay. I mean, I'm still not sorry for making fun of people who like Pokemon.
Sure.
But I now can kind of see its appeal.
Right here. Me.
I know it's my destiny. You're my best friend. In a world we must pretend something.
Are these children in this show?
It's unclear. They kind of have that in-between adult nubile stage thing going on.
Right. So I'm just wondering, like, how do they get the money to travel around
Pokemon.
And catch all these things? And, like, where are their parents, I guess?
I mean, my guess would be they had a bar mitzvah and used that money to buy their first Pokeball.
Perfect. Perfect. But they don't have, like, this is Japanese, right?
It sure is. So they don't Pocket
have,
Monsters, baby.
They don't have Pokemon, or they don't have bar mitzvahs in Japan. So I'm
There's
not
Japanese Jews. It's not a race. It's a religion. I've heard that many times.
It's both.
Is it?
Yeah. That is a contentious question.
The phones are lighting up.
I'm not the authority on this, but I definitely have heard that. It is both. Like there's cultural Jew.
Call in 604-822-2487.
Please tell us.
604-UBCCITR. We love a phone call. We had a great one from Kevin Banner earlier. I mean, you probably feel intimidated by that. There's a absolutely beautiful woman outside CITR with very nice hair. And but call in if you're beautiful or ugly. We don't care.
Both.
It's the radio.
Either one.
If you have a face for radio, you're twice removed from being seen. I mean, you can't possibly have more anonymity.
You can't.
Than that.
Only if they're wearing one of those Robert Burns masks. Not Robert Burns. Who's the guy? Guy Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes.
Yeah, one of those anonymous masks.
Right. Where do you buy those masks?
You know what? I have no idea. I've never seen them for sale.
Keep track of... I feel like having a security camera... Like, you need a mask when you buy that mask.
Yeah.
You need to put a brown paper bag on your head because...
Yeah.
But I'm getting off track here because I brought up Pokemon because...
Right, Pokemon.
Pokemon Go has just been released in most of the world, and it's coming out in Canada soon. Now, should I even ask this? Are you familiar with Pokemon Go?
Of course not.
Of course not. So Pokemon Go is basically, as I go about the world with my phone, you're familiar with augmented reality?
I'm familiar with augmented reality.
Okay, on your Android device or whatever.
Oh, I know what this is. You see Pokemons in real life.
Yes, you see... hold up my camera right here into the AMS, what would you call this, an atrium?
Sure.
Sure, this big open area.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I can see a Pokemon sitting there on the stairs with the students. And I could catch it in real life. Now, this opens up a whole world of problems and hilarious. I mean, because you've got the real world with all the things that happen every day in the real world. And now there's Pokemon everywhere.
Yeah.
So there's... The police are shooting an unarmed black man, and meanwhile look, there's a Bulbasaur behind it.
I don't like where this is going.
I mean, nobody likes where gun violence is heading.
I don't like your analogy with Pokemon and equating it to gun violence.
Okay.
I'm willing to stay with you on this one. If you want to continue with
that. I wouldn't. I would jump ship, personally.
Yeah.
But there's going
to
be
I brought a gun to school when I was a kid.
Yeah. You should have shot yourself in the head, so we wouldn't have to hear
it. It was only a BB gun.
Wouldn't have done.
I would have had a little dent. That would have been about it.
Yeah. Well, I had a great line and I flubbed it. I was going to say a lot of water would have come out.
A lot of water.
Say you
would
had
have
like a water on the brain, like a waterhead baby.
Oh, hydrocephaly.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't have that.
Right.
So that wouldn't have happened. Maybe if I'd shot myself in the head, I would have been a fan of Pokemon.
Yeah. I was dropped enough to like Pokemon and get 33% in Math 11.
I took Math 10 three times.
Oh, did you?
I took English.
You're a fool.
I failed English 12. I took English 12 three times.
Oh, that's even worse. It's almost impossible to fail English.
I willfully failed it. I was a self-sabotager in high school.
A cutter.
Not a cutter. Only in my brain. I didn't want people to think I was smart.
Right.
And I don't know why. Because I hung out with smart people, and they would not have judged me for that.
Okay. Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
You got bad marks on purpose in high school?
Yeah. For the most part.
That almost takes skill to make your essays worse.
Well, I just wouldn't do them.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So I'm imagining like that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah. No. Like it's no. And I can tell you from experience that it is a lot harder to write a bad essay than to write a mediocre essay. Like you can write a mediocre essay and get a pass. It's probably pretty easy if you have a sufficient grip on anything.
Yeah, but to write a bad essay, you need to concoct some sort of idea that doesn't fit with reality in a way that's not interesting.
Yeah.
And more relevant.
And most teachers will spot that, and they'll be like, he's trying to fail.
We need to put him in the special class.
Yeah, he's clearly too smart for the regular
class.
They
put you in like what's it called? The classroom that's like out in the field?
The mobile,
you're like with a set group of students? the bully fodder?
Maybe, yeah. Or I don't know. Or maybe like there's this weird turn where it's like, You do so poorly on an essay or something, and it's so clear that you've concocted this elaborate, do we say ruse? You've concocted a ruse, and then your teacher's like, well, we have to put this kid in Mensa now.
Yeah.
Because he's way too smart for the regular kids. He's going to ruin us all.
Right.
Maybe that's what happens. But that never happened with me because I just didn't do the essays.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and I kept failing English.
Pokemon.
And I didn't do Pokemon.
You know, this all comes back to me because I misbehaved so much. By the way, if you swallow loudly into the mic one more time, I'm going to drive this red punt.
I didn't realize I was doing that.
your headphones, are they working?
Yeah.
Put the other side on. Now swallow into the mic. You notice that?
No.
Probably nobody else is noticing it either.
Probably not.
And my insane OCD is just...
I think you're just really... into this.
But this comes back into it. This,
okay,
well,
sorry.
I try hard for you, radio listener.
Next time I swallow, I'll... I went off mic for that one.
That sounded very crisp. I enjoyed that. There used to be another co-host that would keep me in check so I wouldn't get too OCD, but he went away to bigger and better things. And I haven't heard from him in a while, so I'm starting to go insane. Who's the guy that was obsessed with washing his hands?
Rain
Howard
Man?
Hughes?
Oh, Howard Hughes.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I have the talent of Howard Hughes. Only the mental illness.
Okay.
But, yeah.
You're wearing regular shoes, though.
Did he wear moon boots?
Didn't he wear Kleenex boxes?
Well, that wouldn't surprise me.
Oh, no, that was the Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns became Howard Hughes or something. He was a germaphobe. He was germaphobe, right?
He's a germaphobe.
Yeah.
Big.
Are you germaphobe?
No.
Oh. So
I'm looking at me. I'm disgusting. No.
You don't look disgusting.
Well, thank you.
I'm not that close to you right now, but...
You clearly didn't listen to the first 15 minutes of this show.
I listened to the first couple of minutes because I was in the car driving here.
Got it. Anyway, they give me an IQ test.
Okay.
Because I was such an idiot. So if you just stink like everyone else, everyone's like, well, this guy's just a run-of-the-mill moron.
Yeah.
But if you truly are a dope,
right,
you will get tested. And apparently, I'm quite smart. 136, baby.
That's
read them and weep.
That feels high.
It's high. It's not genius.
What's genius?
140.
Oh.
Which really stings.
I mean.
Do you round up for 136?
They couldn't give you the four extra points.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But I feel like, see, now not only am I, because I'm basically a genius. I'm basically 140. But I'm not quite, which means I try harder. Because once you hit genius, I'm a genius. I don't need to try in life. I'll just have it. But I know I need to try. So not only am I superior intelligence, but I try.
Maybe that's true genius. If you are a genius, if you really are a genius, then you know you still have to try.
Right. I probably got higher and they were like, we don't want to screw this kid's future up. So we'll give him 136, which is the highest we can go while still maintaining some of his humility.
Right.
Yeah.
So like you're still down here with us.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say that, but I am still within earshot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've never taken an IQ test. Where do you think I would be?
Oh,
like based on
I
your...
don't know. Is there a 10-minute IQ test we can let's see if there's some IQ questions?
Yeah, okay.
That we
can ask you. I don't feel like taking a test online that you just found on Google would be like the most legitimate way to do it. But I'm happy to have a couple of questions.
Yeah, this is more just for fun.
Yeah. But I'm gonna take the results very seriously.
This really, yeah. There's a test online, Canada's most accurate online IQ test.
Well, that sounds like a winner.
Yeah. You have 20 minutes to answer the following 20 questions. I mean, this is insane. We're not doing this. The only thing that this is certain of is if you believe this, you have below 100.
Okay.
That's the only thing. I mean, if you think that this is... You know what are very effective, though? Online alcoholic tests.
Oh, yeah. I took one of those. They're hilarious.
Yeah. I feel, really, if you fail one of those or pass, depending on how you look at it, you're definitely an alcoholic.
Yeah.
They're very conclusive.
Yeah, but the questions are very leading. It's like asking you sure. about what – I forget what the wording was. Yeah, look for the AA test to see if you're an alcoholic. The questions, I remember them being very, very leading. Oh, I can see it's purple. You've clicked on it before on Google.
Because they – I mean, they want you to be an alcoholic.
They do because they want more members for their – Do you have to pay for AA?
For AA? I mean, it rhymes. They should.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's terrible, but I've always wanted to just kind of go. I've never been addicted to anything, but I just kind of want to go and see what it's like.
These are a bit leading. Do you lose time from work due to drinking? Well, anytime you drink, you are losing work time.
Yeah.
Unless your job is a craft beer taster.
Exactly.
In which you found an excellent loophole to the first question.
Yeah, Vancouver's got that figured out.
Is drinking making your home life unhappy?
I mean, if you answer yes to any of those questions, you have a problem.
Yeah. Do you drink because you are shy with other people? I feel like almost everybody answers yes to that. This is
anybody could.
Is your drinking affecting your reputation? I mean, there's only one way to find out. Sunday at Big Rock.
The Sunday at Big Rock, and you'll see if your reputation is tarnished from drinking.
Yeah. When you go on stage, do you drink?
No, I can't.
Sober.
Sober. Stone sober. I'll drink after.
I used to be that way with stand-up comedy, and then I found that one drink really takes the edge off.
Loosens you up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For me, it does loosen me up, but in a bad way.
Oh.
In a way that I forget what I'm saying a little bit some of the time because I really feel like I have to be so present when I'm on stage that even a little bit – like I went on stage on Wednesday.
Right.
And I went up earlier than I thought I was going to, and I had one drink. I had one cider, and I completely –
And you forgot your act.
I didn't forget it. I
wish I could.
I flubbed.
Zing.
Oh, you were there, weren't you? Yeah, I saw you that night.
Continue.
Anyway, I flubbed some of my lines, some of my stuff, and I didn't feel good about my set at all. And that was because I had a drink 20 minutes I got on stage.
Yeah. One drink, 20 minutes.
One drink, one cider.
Yikes.
And if you keep insulting me like that, I'm going to keep swallowing so loud. it's going to drive you insane.
My mom had a good zinger when she saw your set at Jaeger's. My mom is a real...
Your mom was there?
Yeah.
She saw that?
Connoisseur of comedy.
Oh, my God.
She is vicious, that woman.
Oh, what did she...
No. I mean, I wouldn't feel too bad because very few comics pass the Rosemary litmus test of great comedy. But, ooh, flush twice, as she said, was not a fan of your act
of
that
me.
Night.
Yeah. Of me. Oh, cause
and several others.
Oh, good. So it wasn't just me. It
wasn't just you.
Okay. I mean, yeah. That night, that was another night. Why do you always come when I bomb?
I don't know, buddy. I mean,
you're just like you're my good luck charm.
Yeah. Hey, we all bomb sometimes.
We do, and we have to.
As I said earlier, I mean, the old folks home and several other times with young people.
I'm trying to learn. Stephen Colbert was talking one time about bombing, and he said you have to learn how to love doing it, like live in that moment and really enjoy bombing. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it. I learn from it, but in the moment, it is. I don't know. What do you feel about it? Like when you bombed in front of those old people, or whenever you bomb, like how are you feeling up there?
Well, when I had a piano teacher, I had a great piano teacher named Bob Murphy, and he taught me some amazing tricks when it came to jazz piano. One of which was maybe the cardinal lesson. To always keep yourself interested. He said that took him like 20 years to figure out. And when he figured that out, it kind of changed, you know, is if he's interested, always, as soon as it gets dull, keep yourself interested. Okay. You know, just make sure that it's fun and dynamic to you always. And if it starts to get stale, you do something else or learn something new.
Yeah.
And that is a good way to keep the audience happy instead of trying to please this outside thing.
That's good advice.
I found that worked really well with comedy. So, yeah, I think that when I'm bombing, I just try to go, okay, well, if I just keep doing my act. I mean, I had a real famous bomb for me, or infamous, was in the round two of the Yuck Off last year, where I made it through the first round and then just bombed horrifically in the second round. I mean, this is an important gig, obviously, for a newer comic.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get into the finals. And I've been practicing my act, so I want to do well. But it just was completely awful. I mean, I was on last, and that's a tough spot in a comedy comp because the servers all start to go around and get everyone's bills.
Oh, right.
Check spot, and they're worn out from the other comics.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's not an excuse. I still should have done well, but I was doing.
Isn't there also the recency effect that you could take advantage of there where they'll just vote for the last comic they've seen?
Sure. If you do well, but I wasn't getting any laughs, and I realized like 4 minutes in, okay, well I can keep doing this. I can keep trying to make this work, or I can find a way to enjoy, because I'm not going to move on, but how many people got a chance to completely self-destruct on stage and go, screw it, I'm going to say some crazy, wacky stuff and talk to the audience in the comedy competition.
Yeah.
That's a story.
Sure.
So I just started talking about riffing, which is a treat. Usually you don't get to do that in like a high pressure. And the crowd liked it. You know, so I actually got some laughs at the end. And, you know, I was making fun of the judges. And I'm like, oh, I'm not going to win, so I'll just make fun of the judges. And that was fun. And they liked it. You know, I mean, they weren't going to move me forward. You got to give it to the two people that their acts worked.
Yeah.
But so I think when you're bombing, you got to find a way to just have fun with it, even whether you're getting laughs or not.
Yeah.
And probably insulting yourself a little bit, you know, draw attention to the fact that you're bombing is usually a good idea. And, you know, I don't have the answers by any means. This could all be wrong. But I definitely like it when I'm watching
somebody.
That's
your name, isn't it? Be wrong?
Be wrong.
Be wrong. I'm Alex Be Wrong.
Yeah. Did you just write a new slogan for me? You might have.
I think.
People always ask me how I pronounce your name, the host and whatnot. And I always say, get your beer on with beer on.
Okay.
Yeah. And that works.
Yeah. Or I'll always be wrong with beer on. That's I like what your piano teacher said about always enjoying yourself. Cause it's kind of the Colbert thing as well, right? Like,
that's the same thing.
It's the same thing. But yeah, I think.
Find a way to enjoy it. Yeah.
That pivoting from your material. Because I think it was...
You can't be a slave to what's not working.
Right.
It feels like you should be because you've trained yourself so much. This is going to be the thing.
Yeah.
And then when it doesn't work, your muscles are like still firing that thing.
That's right, yeah.
And that just makes it worse because then the audience goes, well, this guy stinks.
Yeah. So I think it was... What was that guy's name? Bill Hicks.
Sure. That guy.
That
legendary comic. Yeah.
He had something about when your bit is interrupted... either by an outside stimuli or whether you're bombing, the sure. the bit is over. Don't continue the bit.
Yeah.
Like pivot to something else, whether that's crowd work or whether that is something external that's happening.
Sure.
And I think this is all part and parcel of the same advice that we're dancing around.
Yeah.
This.
Yeah, because you know what I think happens if you have a bunch of jokes that don't work and you keep doing your act and keep sucking,
yeah.
Then the audience goes, well, this guy's not a good comic.
Right.
But if your bits aren't working and then you draw attention to it and start insulting and say, and start living in the moment and addressing it, then the audience will be more likely to go, well, the show isn't going well right now.
Right.
It's us or it's the vibe because he's aware of this.
Yeah.
He's loose.
Yep.
He's talented. It's not just his jokes that aren't working. It's the whole night
actually
that stopped working.
I saw Kevin Banner do this exact thing one night at a comedy show at Chords Comedy down in Kitsilano. And the whole show, everyone that went up wasn't doing well.
Mm.
And Kevin started doing his thing. And we thought, okay, here's Kevin Banner. He's going to save the show.
Yeah.
And he came up and did his material. And the audience was reacting the same way to his material that is awesome. And so he did exactly what we were talking about. He stopped. And then he put it back onto the audience. And it ended up working.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was great.
Well, that's great. Bringing it back to Kevin Banner, as we said earlier in the show, check out his shows this weekend at the Comedy Mix. We're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back. Do you have anywhere to go?
Not till 2 o'clock.
Okay, well, we'll talk for, I don't know, a little bit longer, maybe till 11:45.
Yeah.
And if anyone can hear this outside in the studio, come in and kick me out, but we'll be here till 11:45. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back. Stay tuned.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate, you remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What is Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Sunday.
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Attention, there will be a cake fight at the Woods Studio, 7 West 2nd Avenue, Friday, July 8th. There will be a cake fight at the Woods Studio, Friday, July 8th. Bands will play. Phone a Penny. The Rush for Life. Wish Kicker. And Pink Licorice.
There's a point. Is there a point to all this? Let's find a point. Is there a point to my act? I would say there is. I have to. The world is like a ride at an amusement park. And when you choose to go on it, you think it's real, because that's how powerful our minds are. And the ride goes up and down and round. It has thrills and chills, and it's very brightly colored, and it's very loud. And it's fun for a while. Some people have been on the ride for a long time, and they begin to question, is this real, or is this just a ride? And other people have remembered, and they come back to us, and they say, hey, don't worry, don't be afraid, ever, because this is just a ride. And we kill those people. Shut him up. We have a lot invested in this ride. Shut him up. Look at my furrows of worry. Look at my big bank account and my family. This has to be real. It's just a ride. But we always kill those good guys who try and tell us that. You ever notice that? And let the demons run amok? But it doesn't matter, because it's just a ride. And we can change it anytime we want. It's only a choice. No effort, no work, no job, no savings of money. A choice right now between fear and love. The eyes of fear want you to put bigger locks on your door, buy guns, close yourself off. The eyes of love instead see all of us as one. Here's what we can do to change the world right now to a better ride. Take all that money we spend on weapons and defense each year and instead spend it feeding, clothing, and educating the poor of the world, which it would many times over, not one human being excluded, and we can explore space together, both inner and outer, forever in peace.
Back, Vancouverite, here on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting, of course, from unceded Musqueam territory. We're always broadcasting from unceded Musqueam territory, and it's not a beautiful day out there, unfortunately. I feel like if you just dropped somebody into today and said, what do we got here? What's the month? Give me a guess. They go, I don't know, February, March. Isn't that interesting? It's impossible. You would think that in July, you would have some sort of a summer feel. This could be February. How can it be that February and July are so close?
Are we really talking about the weather? Have we reached that point now in the show? I know you talked about it when you first got on the air.
Well,
I just feel like there are better topics, you know?
Yeah, well, fire away, big guy. Lay it on me. You were sure hitting hard before with your I brought a BB gun to...
Oh, I was going to go back to that, actually.
Yeah. Here with Justin. Justin O'Hearn, the godfather of crappy stories and the comedy at Big Rock. I feel like Big Rock should be a casino. That sounds like more of a casino, but it's a brewery.
Yeah.
Big Rock Casino.
Big Rock Casino. I have nothing for that. Because it isn't a real thing.
What, comedy or
the casino idea?
Okay,
there's a River Rock Casino, Alex. That's local.
That's why I'm thinking that.
Yeah,
there we go.
You're doing that association thing again.
Yes, I love an association.
That's how you get those good analogies.
Well, I'm on a bit of a dry spell here.
For analogies, you are. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you're walking around. No, got nothing.
What else do you like that I don't like?
Okay, you know that's a great way to start a conversation with. Anyone, I feel.
I think so.
What else do you like that I don't like? And that, I mean, imagine if liberals and conservatives did that. Or
they kind of
men and women. Or yeah, that's...
It's like, if you like a thing, I'm just not going to like it as a rule, if you're liberal or conservative. United States, anyway, not so much here.
I'm trying to bring it back to the profound, because we heard a great clip from Bill Hicks earlier, who you brought up. That was It's Just a Ride by the... legendary Bill Hicks. And now we're listening to Mobb Deep. What do I like that you don't like?
Yeah, what do you think?
I like Pomeranians a lot. That's one of my favorite things. How do you feel on those?
I like dogs. I think I've had a bad experience with Pomeranians.
All right.
It's not that I don't like them. It's just that my grandparents had one and she was really mean.
Right. I feel like Pomeranians get a bad reputation because, as you probably know, dogs reflect the... personality of their owners and the discipline of their owners So, and the kind of people I don't want to profile here, but the kind of people that I've seen, well, no, this is just based in truth, based on what I've seen, the people that buy Pomeranians a lot of the time are a little airheaded, maybe a little they just want a toy dog. They like them because they're cute, because Pomeranians are really cute, and then they forsake some of the obedience training and whatnot. So you've got all these yappy, misbehaving Pomeranians running around.
Right.
Because their owners just coddle them. And then the breed gets a bad reputation.
Yeah. I'm not blaming an entire breed of dogs. But just I know that, you know how like something happens to you as a kid and it can affect you for the rest of your life. My grandparents had a really mean Pomeranian.
Gotcha.
I have a friend who actually has two Pomeranians and they're super hyper and they're great dogs. And I pet them and they're fluffy. And that's great.
Where do they live?
They live in Surrey.
Can I visit their Pomeranian at some point?
Sure.
Or can you babysit it?
They're probably okay with you having their Pomeranians, actually. They've got two children. So the Pomeranians kind of don't get enough attention.
So I could like babysit it for a couple days or something.
You probably just have them.
I could have it. Okay, well, we'll talk about that after.
Okay,
sure.
I'll hook you up.
Cool.
With the Pomeranian.
How old are the Pomeranians?
I have no idea.
What color are they?
White, and the other one is the brown color.
Like the foxy brown.
Like the caramel color.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Well, very interesting. Yeah, what else is happening? What was I saying?
You were going to tell me about something you like.
Yeah, that I like that you don't like.
That I don't
like. Okay, well, let's just say all the things, like my favorite things.
What are you
and
kidding?
One of them is sure to be a real stinker for you.
Yep.
And then we'll fight.
Sure.
Okay, I love bubble tea.
Okay. Not into it.
Not into it.
Not into it. I can't. Right. The bubbles are weird for me.
The bubbles are weird. Okay. I mean, they're not weird. They're delicious.
They're. I had one. Actually, the first bubble tea I had was on campus here at UBC at the place over by, I don't know where it is, but I had one and I got it and it was weird. It was like the straw was big and you're supposed to suck the bubbles through the straw. I figured that out. That's why the straw is big, right?
Correct.
And I got one of the bubbles in my mouth.
Right.
And it was just this.
That's where it's supposed to be.
It was just this gross gelatinous. Oh, really over, like too sweet.
It's so
it was
good.
Too sweet.
It's, well, you might have had a bad experience with bubble tea.
I did have a bad experience because it wasn't, and you know what? It wasn't even tea.
It is funny though, but whenever somebody doesn't like something, they go, "Well, you just had a bad experience with it." Correct. It was bad when I had it.
It was bad when I had it,
and I do not like that thing.
Yeah, but the thing is, I like to give things the benefit of the doubt. So I've tried bubble tea more than once. So I've had multiple bad experiences with it. It's like a restaurant. You go to a restaurant, and unless somebody punched you in the face, you know, you'll probably. I'll probably go back.
Okay.
Because if I had a bad experience once, maybe that was just that night or whatever.
Right. So I can punch you in the face once, and you'll be okay with that.
No, I said unless someone punches you
Oh, that's really the opposite
that's
is what you said.
Yeah, that is the threshold for me not returning to a thing. So I probably, if you punched me in the face, I would.
Well, you tell me a couple things maybe that you don't like.
Things that I don't like.
Or that you like. Either one.
How much time you got, buddy?
Either one. Say things either that you like or don't like. We're trying to find mismatches. But even if we find a match, I mean, it's interesting either way. I mean, it says here that we've got 4,000 plus listeners right now. So, I mean, they're tuned.
Sure.
They want to know.
I am head over heels in love with the band Band of Horses.
Yeah. I mean, they're one of the worst bands ever.
Yeah, and here's the thing about things that I like that people don't like.
I don't
feel the need to defend the things that I like.
A Band of Horses is good.
I don't care that much.
People really like Band of Horses, though. I don't know what it like. It got to this point where it's like, yeah, I really like Pearl Jam. Yeah, Pearl Jam's great. Oh, and Band of Horses. I was like, wait a minute. Did I miss the month where we all decided that now Band of Horses is on the same level as these like great bands? It's kind of.
What song is that?
Well, for a funeral, and on that funeral.
That sounds nothing like the funeral. Okay. Yeah, no.
Is there a ghost in my house? My house.
Right now, Alex is singing two different Band of Horses songs, but he's making them sound the same.
Those songs are really similar. All right, well, let's do a test.
Okay, let's do a test.
So we'll do, I'm going to go to
funeral,
a random.
Funeral and Is There a Ghost?
Band of Horses. I'm going to do Funeral first.
Yeah.
And
it's got the slow start, though.
Yeah.
So you might just...
Oh, I'm not going to listen to the whole song.
Fast forward it, yeah.
I'm a professional here. I mean,
yeah,
we're not just going to...
I can tell.
You know, this is a good song, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
This is the song. This is the first song of theirs I heard, which I'm sure is the experience for most people. You know, like, when you hear a song, you know that it's... From the very beginning, you know you're going to just... really enjoy it.
I feel like you would really like Spinto Band.
Oh, I've never heard these guys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Check out Oh Mandy by Spinto Band.
Okay.
It's always nice introducing people to new music.
It's a Barry Manilow cover?
I don't know. Maybe you can enlighten me. I'd be interested. It has ukulele. Always nice when you find a ukulele song that you like.
Yeah,
which I think
tough.
Is cool.
It's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, George Harrison was a very accomplished ukulele player.
Yeah. Great guy.
Yeah, and I like his ukulele stuff.
Check out this song.
Yeah,
pretty good.
I'm into this.
Yeah. Yeah,
this is not offensive.
What's your favorite movie?
My favorite movie, I would have to say, in terms of. I don't know what my favorite movie is. I'm gonna go and say Jurassic Park only because of Laura Dern in that movie.
Ah, a Laura Dern fan.
Yeah.
That's always interesting.
I
so do you like Blue Velvet?
I love Blue Velvet.
Because I feel like that kind of aligns with a lot of things that you're into.
Yeah, no, and I love David Lynch.
Yeah.
David Lynch's films anyway, but like my my older woman fantasy crushes are Laura Dern and Julia Margulies from The Good Wife.
Okay. Well, good luck with that. I mean, it's nice to have two crushes because that doubles your chances of...
That's my thinking, exactly.
Because I'm a Rachel Bilson guy, and it's all Bilson all the way.
All Bilson?
And she's taken, and I'm taken, and...
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's some sort of threesome situation or a breakup.
Yeah.
I mean, but, you know, you always hope, and...
You gotta have
goals. And life's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, as the end of Millennium Princess stated, I don't know if you like anime at all.
No.
But it's... okay, well, that's something I like.
Okay, there you go. And I can't say... It's not that I don't like it, it's that I haven't seen a lot of it. Like, I know Astro Boy...
Right.
I used to watch that before school.
Astro Boy, yeah.
That's anime, a classic. Right?
Yeah, that's
but
like
you know what? We used to call it Japanimation. You can't say that.
That's a little racist.
You can't call it that.
All right, we got to go. Thank you for listening to Vancouverite. We will be back next Friday. Stay tuned for Dave Radio with Radio Dave. Goodbye.
See you guys.
With all of my friends and we're out.